Brother Ray has asked that we read from two scriptures, Psalm 89, the first eight verses, and then turning back to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. Seems like the theme of the evening, the solid rock on which we stand. Something we can be assured of, something we can be confident in this changing world. The verses in tonight's scripture support that. It talks about who we can have our confidence in and something we can be assured upon in this changing world. Psalm chapter 89, the first eight verses. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Turning back then to Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Shall we kneel for prayer?
It's good to see each of you here, and also, I'm aware there's a lot, probably many people listening over the call-in line, and those that are listening over the call-in line, we want to say hi to you, and I know you're through the phone line, you're fellowshipping with us tonight, and many of you wish you could be here, and you can, and may his blessing be upon you. The title of today's message is another in a series we've been doing on the attributes of God. The title of this message is The Immutability and Faithfulness of God. And I have to say, this is my favorite of all the attributes of God. I realize we might put a lot of our emphasis on the attribute of the love of God as being a greater attribute. However, this is the attribute our faith hangs on. If God does mutate, if God is unfaithful, can we know that he will be loving in the future? The word mutate means to change. God is immutable. It means he does not change. There is never any variation, no alteration in his essence. As God is now, so he will forever be. As God is now, so he always was, eternally in the past. Change implies imperfection. If God changed for the better, it means he at one time was not perfect. If God changed for the worse, it means he is no longer God. Since God is immutable, it means he never differs from himself. Now, we humans deal with mutations and change all the time. Color blindness is a mutation, a change in genetics. Does anybody know anybody that's colorblind? Could I put your hand up? Yeah. I found out that 10 million men in the United States are colorblind. They cannot differentiate red from green. But less than 6,000 American women have the same disorder. And the reason is because the mutation is located on the X chromosomes. Also, some breast cancer is caused by mutations. That's change in the cells. There is also change around us because of time. Our bodies get old and frail. Black hair turns gray. Rocks, huge rocks in the stream, they wear round and smooth. Our shingles get brittle. Our cars rust. Governments change. People change. Cultures change. Black is now white. Evil is now good. Change is all around us. Cereal boxes are thinner. A half gallon of ice cream is no longer a half gallon of ice cream. The dollar is shrinking. Mountains erode into the valleys. We feel like we are on the sifting sand as change sweeps around us. But amidst all this change, one thing remains constant, and that is God never changes. He is immutable. As John Browning wrote, "Chance and change are busy ever. Man decays and ages move. But his mercy waneth never. God is wisdom. God is love." I mentioned in the past that God he's so hard to describe it because since he is so unlike anything around us. Isaiah 40 verse 18, "To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him?" In James 1 verse 17, it seems the writer uses the most unchangeable object we know to try to illustrate the immutability of God. The object he uses is the sun and the light that proceeds from the sun. I'm going to read James 1, verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." From the Father of lights, the creator of the sun. Now notice the contrast between the physical sun and God. It says, "with whom is no variableness." The word variableness in the Greek means to make different. Sunlight in the morning is different in strength and intensity from sunlight at noon. And then the intensity varies. It changes towards sunset. God does not have that change. His strength, his degree of power remains constant. The second key phrase says, "no shadow of turning." And in the Greek, the word turning means a change of direction. As you watch a shadow of a tree, it turns, it changes. The shadow in the morning is towards the west, but as the day goes by, it turns, it changes directions. By evening, it is turned towards east. The shadow turns, it changes directions. God, the Father of light, is constant. His direction, his purpose are unalterable. His will, his moral standard, his essence never flickers to the right or the left. They will stand as Malachi 3 verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." An illustration of the attribute of his immutability is found in creation itself. You know, it's just natural for God to make the world to reveal his essence. For example, if you have a child or a grandchild make something out of Play-Doh, you could tell something about that grandchild by what they make out of Play-Doh, right? You could tell if it was a girl or if it was a boy, or you could tell how old they were. You could tell different things from the creation, their creation, about them. And even so, creation reveals to us God. I want us to consider the laws of nature. Have they changed? When you were young and you would drop a brick, what would happen? Anybody? It would fall to the ground. Now, what happens now when you drop a brick? It still falls to the ground. You see, the law of gravity hasn't changed. Is the law of cause and effects still unchanged? It's the same. The law of conservation of matter hasn't changed. When I was young, the second law of thermodynamics stated that anything left to itself would become more disorderly. In other words, unless energy was inserted into it, if it was left to itself, it would become disorderly. So as a youngster, if I left my bedroom to itself, it became a mess. Today's youngsters, is that still true? Sure, everything is still the same. God does not change, and he created the laws of nature that are unchangeable. They illustrate his immutability. We define the immutability of God. I want to give a practical illustration, and if you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. Anxiety is equal to our fear of change. Anxiety is equal to our fear of change. Think of how our fears are rooted in change. Will the one who loved me change and stop loving me? Will my body's good cells change into cancer cells? Will my job change into something I don't like? Will our income change and we can't pay our bills? Change brings uncertainty, concern, and worry. And that is why the attribute of the immutability of God is something we must cling to. Because God does not change. Was he good to you in the past? If he was, he will be good to you in the future. Was he powerful enough to provide for you in the past? He will never be less powerful. Was he all present with you as you went through trials? Well, will always be omnipresent. God is that rock that we sang about today. God is not moved. He changeth not. He is the rock we can cling to and trust and find our hope in. In Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and what? Today and forever. Jesus, the image of the invisible God, shows the immutability of God. Jesus never flinched from his purpose. He never changed direction. He never showed variation in doing the Father's will. And that same Jesus is my friend. He's your friend. He's your brother. We looked at the immutability of God. We defined it as God in his divine essence and his moral essence as being unchanging. He has never differed from himself. He will never differ from himself. And we applied this unchangeability as a comfort to our lives. Though fear is caused by change or perceived change, God is the one who cannot change, and therefore we can have assurance and comfort in him. Next, we want to look at another of his attributes, and that is of his faithfulness. The faithfulness of God simply means he is true in his words towards us. What God says is what God is. He never diverts from his words. He never changes his words. He never backtracks. The immutability of God focuses on his divine and moral essence being unchanged. But the faithfulness of God focuses on his words staying true. That his words stay true is because he is truth himself. He cannot divert from his words, or he would be less than himself. I want to illustrate faithfulness kind of in human terms. My words, let me give an illustration. My word and my truths of truth to my sons. Tomorrow I could tell my sons, tomorrow night we will go fishing. It's a simple statement of truth that forms a promise to my sons. Now, there are a couple of possibilities of why we might not go fishing. Suppose on Monday or Tuesday, I become sick with the flu. Or maybe I'm involved in an accident and can't go. Or it could be stormy at the lake and we can't go fishing. Perhaps I remembered I had a physical scheduled for Tuesday evening, and so I have to go for the physical instead. Perhaps someone invites me to something I'd like to do better, and I hardly ever get an opportunity to do it, so I tell my sons, well, I have this opportunity, I'm going to do it. We'll go fishing some other time. We could be on the way to the lake, and the car engine blows up. You know, if I don't take my sons fishing for any of these reasons, in a sense, I lied to them. What I stated as truth was not true because I did not fulfill my words. Now, God, in His Word, made certain promises to us. And in fact, I was thinking about it. The whole Bible is a promise of God from Genesis to Revelation. But there's certain more prominent promises, such as 1 John 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Philippians 4, 19. And the God of peace shall be with you. Proverbs 3, verse 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. We have the promise of Jesus, I will never leave you or forsake you. Because God is truth, He can only be who He is and be faithful to His word. Because He is self-sufficient, there is no external force that can prevent Him from keeping His word. Because He is omnipotent, there is no force more powerful than Him to prevent His plans from happening. I'm not omnipotent. I can't take the storm that's approaching the lake. I can't prevent it from coming. But God is omnipotent. Because God is omnipresent, He can be fishing and at the doctor's office at the same time. God is God. The truth of Himself stands firm. What He says will happen in the future, and it's the same as it had already happened. Joshua spoke unto the children of Israel about God's faithfulness in Joshua 23, verse 14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass, and not one thing hath failed thereof. I want to tell us, God hasn't changed from the days of Joshua. His word is still true. His promises never fail. We define the faithfulness of God. Our second point under this attribute is we want to contrast God's faithfulness with man's changeable nature. As I looked at Scripture now, as I was studying this, it was like over and over I saw in Scripture that God illustrated His faithfulness and His unchangeability, His immutability, by contrasting it with humans' changeability and changes that occur in the earth. So I thought, if that's how the Bible illustrates it, that's the way we're going to go tonight. I want to just point out some scriptures that contrast God's faithfulness versus man's unfaithfulness. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 29, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. God will not lie. He will not repent. In other words, be sorry for what he did, because he's not a man. Man can't keep his word. Man is sorry for his actions. In Malachi 3, verse 6 and 7, again, notice the contrast. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Did you notice the contrast there? On one hand, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. But you change. You have turned from my commands. In Hebrews 1, verse 10 to 12. Again, notice the contrast. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as does a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the, anybody know the next word? Thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. The earth will change, but God is the same. You know, all around us are these turnings. All around us are these changes and these variations. But God, He is the same. Thou art the same. Isn't that comforting? He isn't like the change around us. Time has no effect upon Him. There is no decay in Him, no variation, no shadow of turning. He is the same. He is faithful. He is not like man. What an awesome God we have. His word does not change. He keeps it. For our third point under this attribute, we want to see how a basic understanding of the immutability and faithfulness of God, how it affects our everyday life. Each of us as Christians, we don't become Godologists just to be more intelligent or just to have this mental knowledge about God. You see, understanding His essence has a cause and effect impact on us. The more we know about His essence, the more it impacts our everyday life. And I think we can see from Scripture that this is one of the most powerful attributes that affects our lives. All the attributes affect our lives. Understanding His self-sufficiency, His self-existence, His eternal nature, His omnipresence, His omniscience. Understanding all those affect our lives. But I believe this is an attribute that has one of the most powerful effects on our lives. And I'm going to let Scripture do the talking. And Scripture indicates how much knowing this attribute affects our lives. Scripture indicates our view and understanding of His faithfulness will help us feel forgiven. 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He will not change in His forgiveness. Scripture indicates our view of His faithfulness will affect our assurance of salvation and sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 24, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that called you, who also will do it. He will do it. There is nothing He can't perform that He promised. Scripture indicates God will be faithful in helping us overcome evil in our lives. Do you believe that? 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is coming to man. But God is what? Faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. He shall establish you and keep you from evil. Scripture indicates God is faithful in helping us with whatever work He calls us to do. Have any of you ever struggled with your calling in life? Maybe you wonder why you accepted the responsibility as a minister, as a deacon, or as a teacher, or on some kind of committee. Or maybe you do some outreach work. And you wonder, can I do it? Do I have the strength? But we have these promises. In Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You see, the faithfulness that God showed to Abraham in the past continues today to you. It's unaltered, unchanged. There is no variation, no degree of turning. And his love and mercy and goodness will continue to your children and your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. It's unalterable. I have a question I want you to think about. What is the purpose of an anchor on a ship? What does an anchor accomplish? It possibly has a couple of reasons, but I think one of the reasons an anchor is for, it's used to keep the ship from being blown off course. I want you to picture a ship going from destination A to destination B. It's sailing along smoothly, but then the storm comes and the winds blow and it threatens to push it off course. And the captain, he says, drop the anchors. And the anchor drops and it hooks into the solid land under the ship. And the boat, though that storm is all around it, since it is connected to the solid rock, it will not move off course. As Christians, we are pilgrims, and we are sailing from point A, this life, to point B, to eternity. And when storms threaten to blow us off course, the only hope we have is that of being anchored into God's immutability and his faithfulness. With the verses we read, Hebrews 6, verse 17 to 19, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it with an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Did you notice it? That God can't change. That God can't lie. The word used there, it's a strong consolation. It's not just a little comfort. It's not just a great comfort. It's like a supernatural comfort. It's a strong, it's a grabbing comfort in our lives. It's a rock that will hold us on the course. It's both sure and steadfast. It means it's steady and it doesn't fail. You know, over the years, I think all of you and myself included, we've been in situations where we needed to try to comfort people who are being hit with emotional storms. Perhaps a loved one passes away at a young age. It could be a child that chooses a life of sin, even though his parents prayed and prayed and prayed and spent much effort trying to keep him in the faith. It could be a debilitating disease that will eventually put the person in the grave. You know, and we got to talk to these people. I've talked to people about the discovery of cancer in their bodies. You know, there isn't a lot to be said in those situations. If you tell these people, well, all things work together for good, they look at you and say, well, what good is my son going astray? What good is my loved one? They're in the grave now instead of sitting beside me. Or maybe you could tell them, well, God allows trials to make our character better and increase our faith. You know, and if you told them that, they would probably just get up and walk out. In these situations, there's only one thing we can do. We need to tell them to drop anchor. They need to drop anchor, grab hold of the immutability and faithfulness of God. We need to ask them. These people that are suffering, these people that are going through this emotional storm all around them, ask them, did God love you in the past? Did God show mercy to you in the past? Do you have testimony about how God was good to you in the past? And they will probably say, yes, yes, he was good in the past. And then we can say, well, he hasn't changed. He is still merciful. He's still good. He still loves you, even though the storm is around you and you don't feel that love and you don't sense it. He hasn't changed. He still loves you. Anchor into his immutability and his faithfulness. There are probably some here right now who are in a storm. I know there's a lot of storms that no one knows about. Sometimes we tend to just go through these storms alone. We don't tell anybody. And perhaps you're veering off course. Perhaps there are some here I know who have struggled with a sudden death. Perhaps it's a diagnosis of cancer or some other disease. It could be a storm of a relative showing hatred to you. Maybe you've worked so hard towards a goal, but everything failed. And you're struggling with God. Is he even alive? I know about a year ago, I was talking to a sister, and she told me basically that. Is God even around? I need to encourage us. Drop anchor. Has he been good and loving and kind to you in the past? He doesn't change. Drop anchor. Trust his character. Acknowledge he doesn't change. I want to read the testimony of a person going through a storm. If you want to turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Here we see Jeremiah had witnessed the awful destruction of Jerusalem and also of its temple. And he saw the city desolate. He saw the people taken into captivity. And he saw the enemies prosper. And he described the storm he was going through in verses 1 to 3. I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. Do you sense the storm he was in? But as you look, as he meditates and as he thinks, we see his thoughts changing. We're going to read verses 18 to 23. And why don't we read verses 18 to 23 together? This might be good for us. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 18 to 23. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We see Jeremiah dropped his anchor into the immutability of God. That he does not change. His words come true. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Where is our anchor? In Psalms chapter 20, verse 7, it says, some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. Is there any here? Do we trust in our riches? Do we trust in our health? Do we trust in our jobs? Do you trust in your ability to move up in life? I want to warn us. All these are subject to change. Someday our riches will take wings and fly away. Someday you might hear the cancer word and your body will rapidly change. Your job can be lost or changed. There is only one thing in our lives that is unchangeable, and that's the rock, Jesus Christ. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you're not in him, you're on sinking sand. If your house is built on wealth or your health, if your house is built on the world's economy, well, this house is sure to fall. Only the house that's anchored and built on Jesus Christ will stand over time. All else will fail. Only God does not change or show variation. He is unalterable, an anchor for the soul. As I studied this, I found out also this attribute, so important that God commands individual Christians, and also churches in corporate settings to talk about this attribute, to give testimony of his faithfulness in your life. In Psalm 40, verse 10, it says, I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Psalms 89, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. As individuals and also in a corporate setting, we are to declare to others his faithfulness. And I was thinking as I wrote this, you know, we always had a corporate way to share testimonies, and we did that over Thanksgiving. But now we have the spring praise, and that's another way we can corporately share our testimonies about the faithfulness of God. And I'm just thankful this congregation has decided to give us believers opportunity to share about this attribute of God. And just as you share your testimony, maybe you could share to other believers how the Spirit of God prompted you one day to do something. You could tell how the Spirit of God, how you sensed someone was praying for you, and during a time of temptation, and because of that prayer, you stood. And if you don't share your testimony, the rocks will cry out. We must share what God has done for us. I want to close with a testimony. We've been talking about testimonies. I want to close with the testimony of Thomas Chisholm. I'm not sure how many of you ever heard of Thomas Chisholm. He was born in 1925, and all his life he was plagued with bad health. And he became a minister at age 36, but his health was that poor that he could only be in the ministry for 1 year. He retired from the ministry at age 37. And after that, he moved from Kentucky to New Jersey, where he became a life insurance agent. And because of the effect of his illness, I'm not sure how soon before 36 that illness started, he could never get a good income. And I want to read his testimony to you. He wrote, "My income has not been large at any time due to impaired health in the earlier years, which has followed me on until now." But then he continues, "Although I must not fail to record here the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that he has given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, for which I am filled with astonishing gratefulness." A man that couldn't get a good income, He suffered all his life from bad health. And he, I don't know how poor he was. But yet he could say, give this testimony here, that God is good. I want to share just one other thing he wrote. It's kind of like a testimony. He wrote these words, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." That's a testimony of Thomas Chisholm. And I think each of us can say, that's our testimony. God has been faithful to each of us. God has been good. And may God bless each of you as you anchor in to the immutability and the faithfulness of God.
Let's all stand at this time and bow our heads for a word of prayer.